we pray. We pray, Lord, that as we open the Bible this morning, you will give us ears to hear, and that you will give us minds to understand, hearts to believe, and lives that will live what we will hear from your word. So bless the reading and the proclamation to our hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I read scripture, let me make a few introductory remarks. From the Gospel of Matthew, I read the call to worship. Remember the words, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." A few verses before that, Jesus says, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." I'd like to talk about that a little bit this morning. Is that okay? Talk a little bit about baptism and infant baptism. You just did it. Had it done. Can believing parents ever go wrong in bringing their children to Jesus to be blessed and prayed over by him, do you think? Of course not. And our Baptist brothers and sisters and those who hold to believers' baptism wouldn't say that either. So I love them, but I think I'm allowed to disagree with them. Do you think that babies need saving? You know, we have the saying in our language, I think, that innocent as a baby or innocent as a child. Yeah, I suppose. You ever heard a baby scream? And they were mad. A temper. You ever see a little child throw a temper tantrum? You know what? They are guilty of sin. Sometimes they're guilty as sin. The Bible says in Psalm 51, he says, "Conceived and born in sin." Well, if even infants are stained with sin, then for sure babies need baptism, don't you think? I mean, they need to be saved too, just as much as their mums and dads and their grandmas and grandpas and their aunts and uncles and all the rest of the adults in the community. And salvation is precisely what the sacrament of baptism is all about. It signs and seals God's promises. It signs and seals God's love. It signs and seals God's forgiveness. It signs and seals God's embrace of your little kids. Baptism signs and seals the fact that God accepts, he adopts your children. They're in his family. We're all adopted kids, aren't we? We're adopted into his family, into his kingdom for Jesus' sake, says the Bible. Okay, that's one comment. Here's another one. I'll say it a little bit differently. Just because the sin disease doesn't show up maybe as much or as strongly or as obviously or as blatantly in children, little children, as it can do in us when we get older, doesn't mean that even the youngest children are not fatally infected. They are, the Bible says. Is denying them baptism not denying their need of salvation? I just ask you. Why deny them? I think that's poor theology. Not very biblical. But I love my Baptist brothers and sisters. I told you. I disagree with them. Again, the infant children of believers belong as much to God as their mums and dads. Everything the mums and dads have, everything they have, belongs to God. Right? Everything you have. Everything, right? You believe that? Not least our children. Our precious little children. Baptism says to the person, old or young, the person who receives the sacrament, it says, you belong to God. And he has put the sign of ownership on you. You are not your own. You heard those words before? Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1. We're not our own. Belonging to God, that's another comment, belonging to God is a community thing. It's a communal thing. It's not an individualistic, isolated, personal thing. No. Therefore, in answer to the question, in order to be baptized, doesn't a person as an individual, don't they have to believe? Don't they have to personally believe in Jesus to belong? No. Okay, yes. Well, will you explain, please? I'll try. The person, young or old, who receives the sacrament of baptism is part of a community. Part of a body of biblical teaching. However, babies, little children, can't or don't believe. Do they? Well, if you say so. I mean, I'm not as sure as some people as to what exactly even little children, no one understand. That's one thing. But here's another thing. I would say, yeah, okay, so okay, maybe they can't believe yet. What else is new? I mean, if you have a little baby, I guarantee you that they don't make their own food either. No. They don't make their own clothes. They don't dress themselves. They don't wash themselves. Like, they don't do a whole lot for themselves. You're on. And you do it for them. They eat. They get washed. Cleaned up. And they get moved around even if they can't walk. You do everything for your little children. Of course. Including believe. If it's true that they can't believe for themselves, then I tell you, parents, adults. You got to do it for them. And you got to pray for them because they can't do that yet either. Am I right or am I wrong? How am I doing? Okay so far? Are you with me? Okay. As they grow and mature, guess what? We teach them and they learn how to do all these things for themselves. Yes, they do. They learn it from their parents, of course, and from the adults in the community. In the meantime, we do not withhold from them any of the things they need for living well. And so, I ask you, why withhold something from them as important as baptism? Now I want to read to you from the Bible. Three passages. They sound a lot alike. And the first one is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 13 through 16. Matthew 19, verse 13. And then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Now from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And lastly, I read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked him. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, and he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Wow. It's found in three of the four Gospels. Maybe because it's really important. By far and away, the majority of Christians, by the way, embrace the practice of infant baptism. Sometimes you may wonder, but it's true. The largest Christian denomination in the world is Roman Catholic. They have more than any other denomination in the world. Infant baptism. The second largest is the Orthodox. I mean Greek and Russian Orthodox. Infant baptism. All the Lutherans, infant baptism. All the Presbyterians, all the Reformed, the Anglicans. It's all infant baptism. I think the church had good reasons for practicing infant baptism. Not the least of which are these passages we read from the Gospels about Jesus saying to his disciples, "Let them bring their children to me." I wonder if it was mostly mothers. It doesn't say, but I wouldn't be surprised. What do you think, Dad? You take him. I know, because I'm a dad too. I know how that goes. Maybe they came together. I hope so. But the disciples, as you know, didn't like it Get away, they said. Don't waste the Master's time, his precious time. Don't waste Jesus' time. He's got bigger things on his mind. About the kingdom of God and all these. You mean they didn't think that little children needed Jesus, needed God's, needed divine blessing? Really? Is that what they would they have thought that? Did they feel that you had to be a certain minimum age, a certain level of intellectual development, able to understand the kingdom of God, teachings of Jesus? Is that what they thought? I don't know. How old do you have to be in order to benefit and to receive blessings? Jesus makes it clear he strongly disagreed with them. He was indignant, Mark says. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Receiving the kingdom of God does not require a person to be a certain age. It does not require a minimum amount of schooling. Why not? Because the kingdom of God is a gift. It's a gift. That's why. It doesn't matter how old you are. The kingdom of God, the rule of God, the love of God, which is at the center of all that God is about, is given and then received. God's love, God's mercy, God's blessing, God's presence is just received. I think, so to speak, a person could be given all these wonderful blessings even if he or she were in a coma. You think about it, okay? Yeah. What I'm talking about, of course, is what the Bible calls grace. It's grace. Sacraments, both the Lord's Supper and baptism, are all about grace. One can receive God and His kingdom as an act of divine grace. He can only receive it as an act of divine grace. Grace, which means gift, is probably less of a problem for children, for kids, for youngsters than it is for us adults. Adults, as adults, we tend to think that we have to be deserving. You have to understand at least a minimum. You have to be able to act, to work, to have done something to deserve to be worthy of receiving God's grace. At a minimum, we have to believe, to have faith. But what the Bible means by faith is not so much something that we do. What the Bible means by faith is believing, receiving what God says, and then acting on what God says. It's holding out our empty hands, the hands of our hearts, and having them filled by God. Faith is that empty, outstretched hand of the heart which God fills with blessings, salvation, blessings, kingdom, blessings, salvation, forgiveness, blessings, eternal life, blessings, unearned, undeserved, but given out of the sheer goodness of His heart for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. Jesus turns our adult arguments about children and their faith and or no faith, whatever, and receiving God's kingdom blessings signified in baptism. Jesus turns all these arguments upside down, is what he does here in this passage. He says to adults, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never receive it. Boy, if you let that sink in, adults must become like a little child. Now, you've noticed, of course, I have too, that Jesus doesn't spell out what he means. He doesn't spell it out. Become like a little child. In what way? Clearly, Jesus wants us to think about it. We're adults. Think about it. Use your imagination, your sanctified imagination. Figure it out. Maybe, in fact, there's even more than one angle to this business, this sense in which we are to become like a little child. And I'm going to tell you what I think, but you don't have to buy it all. You can have your own thoughts about it. I won't be offended, but here's a thought. We adults, we live in a, if you want something, you have to work for it world. That's the kind of world we live in. Now, I think that children live in a, if you want something, you have to ask for it world. Tell me I'm wrong. Kids are always asking. They're not too eager to work either. Eager to play. So, it occurs to me that little children are not so hung up. They don't have the hang-ups about being worthy or not worthy in terms of receiving a gift. Have you ever heard your little child say, "Ah, you know what, I really don't deserve that"? I have never heard my kids say that to me in my life. I mean, my little kids. When they got older, they said it to me. Not a little kid. Never said it. They just held out their hands and received it and were happy and exuberant and joyful. And, "Oh, thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you, thank you." Right? I mean, that's how they were. Tell me I'm wrong. But as adults, we you know, "I really don't deserve this. I'm so bad." Or whatever. That's adults. It's not kids. "You really shouldn't have done that." But little kids, if they don't forget, will say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." And then just simply go away and enjoy the gift for a while. They are not embarrassed to hold out their hands to be filled by freebies all day long. But adults, you know, I think this suggests to us that Jesus, you should consider, friends, you should consider asking God for his blessings, for his kingdom blessings. Ask, ask, ask. Didn't he say that? Ask and you will receive. Yeah. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. And hold out your hands and expect to receive. And when you do receive, well, stop all this stuff about not being worthy and deserving. God knows that too. He knows that. But instead, be thankful, thankful, thankful. Receive it with a big smile, a big thank you, some excitement, please. Some enthusiasm. "Wow, God, thank you." Do you think that's what God wants? Receive because you need it. And God knows we need it. And God knows our children, and he knows they need it too. And when all is said and done, the blessings of God, of his kingdom, his blessings are for children. And I think they're only for children. I mean, that's why he says, unless you become like a child. It's only for children. God's kingdom, his love, his forgiveness, eternal life, it's for we are all his children. "Come," said Jesus, "to me. Come like a child. and be blessed. God said it. God promised it. God began giving it already before most of us knew in our baptism, before we were even old enough to understand, giving us His blessings, embracing us in His love, granting us His kingdom, and saying to you, my son, my daughter, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I am yours forever. And you are mine forever. Amen. Father, help us, each one of us personally, to trust you like a child. Jesus, help us to believe and receive like a child. Holy Spirit, give us the humility of a child so that we may enter the kingdom. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the wonderful pledge and promise given to us in our baptism, a baptism which we have grown into as we've been getting older. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.